Welcome to the Under the Capes podcast, your geek business guide. I'm going under the capes of bloggers, podcasters, cosplayers, and other entrepreneurs to learn how they've built a following around doing what they love. I'm your host, Tim Lutie, and today we're going under the cape of the Nth Cast podcast's host, Josh Wade. How's it going, entrepreneurs? Hope everyone had a great weekend. I spent it going to Fright Fest at Six Flags New England, which is my home Six Flags, and always an awesome time. They do up Fright Fest really well with costume people roaming around scaring people. They redecorate a ton of the park, which is really cool. And the special rides just for Fright Fest, and it's an awesome time. The Superman ride there is one of the best coasters I've ever been on. So awesome weekend. My guest this week is really awesome. It's Josh Wade. He is the co-creator of the Nth Cast, Fear the Nth Cast, Once Upon a Time podcast, as well as several others under the Nth Cast podcast family. The original Nth Cast podcast focuses mostly on going over recent movies with reviews and covers a lot of other pop culture topics. The other shows have dialed into more specific topics. Fear the Nth Cast covers the Fear the Walking Dead, The Walking Dead, and Preacher. And Once Upon a Time focuses on Once Upon a Time. And I first learned about Josh Wade from the Podcasting 105 panel at Comic Palooza this past spring. Stephen Sully from the Nerd Foo shared the recording of that panel on their podcast. I got to listen to that, and they had some awesome podcasters on there talking about wide range topics. So I definitely recommend you giving that episode a listen. And Josh was really great on that podcast. And after following him, he's really great about helping other new podcasters with advice about, getting started, equipment, sound quality. The Nth Cast podcasts all have amazing quality, and he's a super helpful person in the podcasting community, so it was great to have a chance to talk to him. We go over what equipment he uses. We talk about how the shows have evolved over time, how he has promoted the shows through Comic Cons, Walker Stalker Con, and through social networks. We specifically cover some amazing stuff on this episode. I won't spoil too much of it ahead of time, but really great show. Let's dive right in. All right, I'm now joined by Josh from the Nth Cast and the whole family of Nth Cast podcast. Josh, thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me, Tim. I appreciate it. It is a big, happy family. That's one of the things I like best. I think we have like four shows, actually, and there's five people total. So, yeah, that's a family.
Yeah, it's great to see every time, you kind of come out with a new show. It's just you've built that network of, of people who are willing to host with you and, once you identify an interest that you can see a podcast coming about. So what was your introduction to podcasting?
Oh, well, I think if you're looking for a unique answer, you're not going to find one here. I think like most nerds, it was through Kevin Smith that introduced me to the world of podcasting. And I think that's where I kind of got the bit by the bug and said to myself, nah, you know, that might be kind of fun to try out, kind of see where that goes. And me and a buddy decided to do it, and here we are.
Awesome. Yeah, his show's awesome, and it's crazy when some of the celebrities and the more well-known people caught on to podcasting so early.
Right, and part of it, though, I think that is a challenge for some of us is that he had a built-in audience, and so, you know, I think sometimes we can kind of fall into the trap of, hey, all I got to do is buy some equipment, hit the record button, and I'm going to be doing this full time. And that's not how this works. So, so you know, you kind of learn that as you go. And I don't know. I think it's interesting. Over this journey of about 3 years, one of the most important things I think I've learned is know why you're doing what you're doing and figure out what is your end goal and what does profitability look like for you. And profitability doesn't necessarily mean making money. You know, it could be I'm just doing it for fun and I get a kick out of it. It's kind of like how we started. We were going to be talking about this nerdy stuff anyway, so why not record it?
Yeah, and you mentioned in the first episode of the Nth Cast, I think that you had another project that didn't really have a goal or a structure, and
yeah,
you joked about it kind of failing by succeeding at that goal.
Well, when we first started, we really, and I guess that's the other thing you need to do is like, well, what are you going to talk about? We don't have to talk about. We'll just talk about nothing. We'll just talk about whatever comes to mind. I think that's also kind of a trap that you fall into. And so there was about three to five episodes that have never seen the light of day, and they're pretty awful. I wouldn't wish them on anyone. And so when we officially started, we're like, well, we'll pick a topic, and that'll be what we talk about. And I think we did that for about 3 weeks. And then we're like, ooh, we can't keep this up. Let's just go see a movie and talk about that. And honestly, we started getting more response out of that. And people like wanted to hear more of us talking about movies than anything else. And kind of dovetailed into, I guess that's what we're doing now. Right. But that's not a bad thing, because if you get feedback and it's not, doesn't go against, you know, some core values that it's like, no, I want to do a show about this. I'm not changing. It's okay to kind of shift and pivot. So we kind of took off after that. And I think too, once you kind of, from a search engine perspective, once you start putting content out there and you're labeling it, you know, recent movie names and titles that have just come out, it's easier for you to find, right? So there's it is easier discoverability than just some random evergreen topic. Not that evergreen topics aren't bad, but if you're going to do a show that doesn't have a specific purpose, it doesn't hurt to be talking about something that's, you know, fresh and new. So then we kind of went into starting a second show, and, you know, feel free to jump here and interrupt me and say, hey, whoa, slow down. That's enough about that. Or I'll just keep talking.
No, that's what was interesting is where, like when you decided to kind of branch off into those other shows and why those specific, subtopics or different, podcasts or shows basically.
Sure. So we decided that, you know, hey, we want to get the word out about what we're doing here. And so it was like, well, we'll just start a second show, but we'll be, I think this is actually, we'd actually went to Podcast Movement in Fort Worth. That was, I think, 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. And one of the things that we learned there is being a little narrow in your topic, being a little more specific with your niche. And we're like, okay, well, why don't we do a show about a TV show and just we can do that weekly, and that's kind of built in. It's like, okay, the thought process is like, well, you know, we don't have to go spend money to watch a new movie every week. TV's free. What can we do it on? It's like, well, you know, there's so many shows out there on Game of Thrones. There's so many shows out there on The Walking Dead and this, that, and the other. It was at that time that Fear the Walking Dead was about to come out, and we're like, well, let's give that a shot, and we'll see where that goes. And we had a little struggle of like, well, what do we call it? And we finally settled on, well, let's just do what they did with the title Fear the Walking Dead, which is just put fear in the front of The Walking Dead. So we became Fear the Nth Cast. So from there, people were like, well, are you gonna talk about the main Walking Dead show too? And we kind of reluctantly were like, well, you know, maybe we'll do like a monthly recap so that we're not, because you're going to take time off once the show winds down and the season is over. Well, you kind of get a break. Well, we kind of then started picking up doing it monthly, and then it became weekly because there was a demand. So we had to keep our listeners happy. But it was fun because, again, we were going to talk about it anyway. So it's not like we weren't already doing this. And then we actually also added the Preacher TV series on that same podcast, because it felt like it was in the same vein. And then for a while, we kind of joked that it was, since all those shows were on the same station, AMC, in the same Sunday 8 p.m. time slot, we kind of joked, well, maybe we should just be the AMC Sunday night at 8 p.m. podcast. So, yeah. So, but there's been a tremendous response. And actually, because we were so narrow in focus, our download numbers just were 4 or 5 times what our normal podcast, the main show, received. And then my wife and I decided, well, you know, we'll do a podcast too. And we did one on a little more family-friendly show, Once Upon a Time. And we started, you know, I think 5 seasons in, and it's in season 7 now. And again, when you have something that's highly targeted like that, you can kind of catch that wave of people that are out there looking for that content. And people want to listen to other people talk about shows. It's kind of like, it's no different than people watching SportsCenter, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. It's just, this is for us more geeky, nerdy type folks. And, but no, there's been a tremendous response.
Yeah, and you've definitely chosen the right shows with that built-in fan base.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, but it's important, I think, to not focus on making sure you pick the right show. Focus on picking something that you enjoy and you're going to enjoy talking about. And I think another thing that has made us successful, and this is actually some feedback we've gotten from a lot of listeners, is you don't get on there, you keep it honest, right? You don't get on there and you don't bash a show and you don't overly praise a show. You kind of shoot for the middle and say, and try to be as objective as possible. And, you know, I think a lot of people have gotten turned off about some shows that skew too far one way or the other. And so that's like a big compliment for us, is like, hey, we'll enjoy listening to you because, you know, you're being honest and objective, and you're talking about the things, why you like the things that you like, but also willing to call, you know, the showrunners out when they're doing something that's a little bit silly, but not to the point where you're just like, you know, crapping all over the product, because that's it. Listening to people complain for half an hour is not any fun at all. So
yeah, it seems like you've had a good middle ground. Have you ever, like, felt the pressure to be a little bit more critical because you're kind of reviewing it? Or, like, I'd always be worried, like, any show I reviewed, I'd gush about it too much and no one would take it seriously.
No, I've never felt pressure like that before. I think the only pressure I've felt is, am I being myself? Am I being honest? Am I being true to what my opinion is? And I think that is important. I think that ties into why is podcasting so popular? Why are so many people drawn to it? Because there's this honesty, there's this intimacy that you're getting to spend time with people when they're in their most vulnerable moments, right? Because you're alone with someone, whether they're in their car or they're jogging or yeah, I've even heard of people listening to podcasts in the shower. But you're spending,
that's a good idea. I got to do that.
Yeah. But you're spending time with people in moments that they're typically not spending with other people. They're alone, right? So but they're not alone because you're in their ear, you're in their headspace. And so a lot of guards are let down. Gates are open. You're able to get in. And when you meet someone in person that has listened to you and it's like they certainly respond to you like they know you, which is a little weird when you first encounter that, because it's like I feel like I'm at a disadvantage because you know me way more better than I know you. I don't know anything about you, but they're talking to you like they know you, and they do. They know things about your life because you're honest and open, and you're sharing things that it's just like they're in the room with you, part of the conversation. That has always been the atmosphere that we have strived for, is just have an honest conversation and talk to each other and to people as though they are there with you.
Yeah, and you mentioned meeting people. So you've met them at conventions and stuff. I know you went to Comic Palooza, and you've. What other conventions have you done this year?
Oh, sure. I haven't gone. Actually, I've only been to Comic Palooza this year. I went to Podcast Movement this year. Met some great folks. But a couple years ago, this is an interesting convention. It's specifically for The Walking Dead. It's called Walker Stalkers, and it was in Dallas. And that was actually one of the first times that we actually had someone stop us and say, "Hey, I know you," because they heard us talking. And then we were also wearing some t-shirts that we had made up, which after this, you know, make sure you send me your address. I'll send you one of our Fear the Nth Cast t-shirts. I've got some extras. Nice. But she stopped us and she said, "I appreciate you guys. And, you know, I listened to you on my way to work, and you make me laugh and it makes my day." And I was like, "Well, you've just made ours, because to think that you could have that effect on someone for some silly little show where you're talking about some silly little show, but it means something to someone." And it's like, well, if that was the only person that ever listened, then I'm good. Right. I don't need anything else. That makes it all worthwhile. If I now know that I made somebody chuckle or maybe brought a smile to their face, I know that sounds kind of cheesy and corny, but it's the God's honest truth. That made me feel good. And so that, from a convention experience, being able to interact with people that have listened to you and enjoy what you do, It's a high that you can't get any other way.
Yeah, the podcasting, it definitely feels like you're sharing more than any other medium.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. And yeah, so you mentioned you guys do t-shirts. What else? So were you there specifically to promote Fear the Nth Cast? What else have you guys done to promote the shows at cons?
Yeah, so that's what we do. We get t-shirts made up, maybe some business cards. It's hard to measure unless you hold like some sort of contest, which we haven't done. It's hard to measure what the return of investment would be on participating in that those type of activities. But I think that kind of misses the point, right? I don't think that we go so the sole purpose of, well, we got to go do this so that we can build an audience for our show. Because then you have to ask yourself, well, why are you trying to build an audience for your show? That kind of goes back to what I said earlier, which is, what is your end game? Are you trying to do this to build a brand, to then make money directly from your podcast through sponsorship or selling good, you know, products or services? You know, that's one thing. But we've always gone with the just get the word out, because we enjoy what we do and we think maybe folks would enjoy listening. And so that's why, I mean, we're going to go to the cons anyway, right? That's part of what we do, because we enjoy that. We enjoy that environment. And going to Comic Palooza in Houston, we met so many other fellow podcasters, and I think that's super important too. You need to interact with people that might listen to your show. But honestly, if you look at the percentages, there's still a ton of people out there that don't listen to podcasts, right? So you need to kind of interact with people that are doing what you're doing, because they may like this, you may be able to come on a show and talk about what you're doing. And now the word gets out that way. And I think that's actually one of the better ways of trying to build your audience, is go where the audience already is, right? Whether that's interviewing or guesting on another podcast that's a similar type audience, or, you know, going to chat rooms or Facebook groups, chat rooms. I don't even know if people use chat rooms anymore. Certainly don't go to Reddit. Reddit is just a big black hole of sadness and anarchy. Don't do it.
Have you tried engaging with people on Reddit before and just
I've
sucked in?
I've lurked, and based on the conversations, like, no, that's a losing proposition. I'm just going to avoid that altogether. Honestly, I'd say if I had to pick one of the mediums that has shown us the most growth, that would be Twitter. But that's what's worked for us. I know that some folks use Facebook. Like, for example, well, actually, technically, me and my wife do for our Once Upon a Time show called Once Upon Us. We actually have a private Facebook group where we do a live watch, and we can everybody that's in there can comment live while we're watching the show together. And I know a lot of other folks do that. I know Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, maybe even Game of Thrones, some other folks do that on a Facebook page. We decided to do it in a group just to kind of keep it a little more private and intimate. But that's just more of a relationship building method. I know some people have used Facebook ads to some degree of success, but if you don't know what you're doing in that, you might end up kind of losing money, because you can spend money pretty quick. But our main growth has just been word of mouth, in person and Twitter. And then once you start building those relationships, once you start getting on other folks' shows, you're tapping into an audience that's already wants to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. So for Once Upon at the Time, what made you choose to do a Facebook group instead of for the other ones on Twitter? Were you just basically kind of joining the Twitter stream of people live tweeting the shows?
It was more of a test than anything else, because we hadn't really used Facebook for any of the shows up until that point, and we haven't since. We just... All these things require time. So we haven't implemented it for any other show, because it just hasn't been something that it just isn't something that we've done, right? Would it work? Probably. But as with all things, you have to put effort in. But we decided to test that for the one show, and the engagement, I mean, it's fairly high, but also intimate. But I think the folks that we have in that group, I don't think we would find the engagement in the same manner for any of the other shows. And I know that doesn't necessarily make sense, but it's a different type of audience because it's a different type of show. And we chose a group because I know Facebook, when you do postings for groups notifications in the order they go out first, right? So you almost always see a group notification. You may not always see a page notification, right? So there was a conscious choice there to do that because I think Facebook considers a group something that you would be more willing to see in your notifications than something from a page that you liked. So it's like, well, let's test this out. And honestly, right, we just haven't taken it any further. But I recommend it if it's something that someone is looking for engagement. That is definitely a viable method, and you're not overloading people with a bunch of tweets in their timeline. And Twitter is such a in the now type thing anyway. I mean, what's the half-life for a tweet? A couple of hours? I don't know. But a Facebook group, a few minutes maybe, right? But a Facebook group, you get that post and you'd be like, oh yeah, the live viewing. Oh yeah, I'm interested in that. And then you can go in there and you can comment, or you can just swipe and say, okay, I don't care about that. And then when people keep posting to that, the comments to that same post, it's not going to keep coming up unless they've engaged with it, right? So you bother them once to say, hey, guys, we're about to do this. Oh, yeah, cool. Or no, I don't have time for that. But then I'm not in their face, right? So I'm a little more, I'm not unwelcome, I guess is what I'm trying to say, with a bunch of notifications.
Yeah, and it definitely allows for deeper engagement, as you said, where, oh, yeah, you know, they can actually have conversations going in the thread, whereas Twitter is just kind of, you know, maybe reply once to someone, or, you know, people reply to your message and then it moves on.
And we've had people comment, ask questions, interact with each other in the group all throughout the week, not just the night when we do the live chat. So that was kind of the idea too. It's like, hey, I don't want to always drive this, but if you can kind of build a community where they interact with each other, that's awesome. So, but there's a lot of tools out there like Slack. That's a really cool tool. We've not used it for any of our podcasts, but I'm in several groups for some other stuff, and it's a nice thing. But then you have to kind of gauge and consider, you know, do I run the risk of using a tool that maybe not everybody's familiar with that they would have to relearn, and then maybe the engagement's not there because people are like, eh, this is not something I use. I'm not going to start using this just for you. So it all goes back to go where people are, right?
Yeah, like you said, you know, this might not work for all audiences, but you kind of, you maybe had a feeling that the Once Upon a Time,
yeah,
fan base was a good audience for Facebook groups.
It was more of a gut type thing, but I would say, hey, well, if anybody's going to try anything out, go on Twitter, go on Facebook. If you have a topic that you're going to talk about, just do some research and find out, well, where are people at? Are people primarily on Twitter for this? Are they primarily on Facebook for this? Are they primarily, I mean, they're on Instagram for this? I mean, it doesn't matter. Just go find out. And I would say once you discover the highest concentration, I mean, shove all your chips in on that platform first, because that's where they are, you know. Why you know, try to climb a mountain and go, you know, going uphill in the wind when you could, you know, go where people are.
Instead of trying to build that community around your choice of platform, actually go find and join that community.
That's right. But hey, you hit the nail right on the head. You have to go join that community. You can't just jump in and go, mm-hmm, hey, everybody, look, I got this shiny new podcast. You're just going to love it. Don't you want to listen to it? No, I don't. I don't care, because I don't know you. right? So you got to friggin' give before you're gonna get. And honestly, you shouldn't even think about the get. You should just think about the give. Just put good content out there. Talk to people like they're people, mm-hmm. not like they're not. I think a lot of people subconsciously look at people as just a friggin' download number. Well, what purpose does that serve? If you're playing the long game, none, because they oh, great, you got them to click on the thing and they listened about 5 seconds and said, this is horrible, or their quality is so bad, I don't even care what they have to say. I'm out. And so imagine how you would feel if you spent money to try to get that click and they click once and they're gone, you know? So I just implore people, think about what you're doing. Think about your end goal. What are you trying to accomplish? And then reach out and treat people like people, not like they're some means to an end. And you probably don't even know what that end is. That's our primary problem. Why am I doing this?
Yeah, I think that's you just touched on a couple of reasons why I think you've been so successful. Is you are definitely going out there and you know, you're joining the community and you're willing to offer help to people. You know, with the podcasting panel that you did at Comic Palooza, and with mm-hmm. just offering people advice online. And then the other one is your podcast has really good quality, like sound quality, production value. And that's one of the things that you've kind of offered advice on.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot. I appreciate it. Thank you. That's something that we didn't think about at first, but as we kind of went along, it became more about, well, if I'm going to do this, we need to do it right, you know. And so when we started, I think we bought a couple of blue snowballs and had a Mac and recorded everything into GarageBand. And there is certainly nothing wrong with that. But that is not, and so we recorded everything into one track as well, right? And so again, there's nothing wrong with that. But as you go along, you start to learn, hey, quality does matter. Now, what we have to say is important, but if I can't articulate, or I can't, you can't clearly understand, and it's distraction free, from my content and what I have to say, then you might click away and never come back and delete and say, forget this. I don't understand what he's saying, because there's too much background noise. There's a dog barking in the background, which again, some of the bad habits you get from listening to Kevin Smith is he's got his dog in the back, but you don't care. That's part of the show, right? But I say, if you need to put your best foot forward, right? So we've upgraded our equipment. I've got a mobile setup right now. I'm actually using a Sennheiser E835. I got it at a pawn shop, so I got it half off, and it works fantastic. I highly recommend that. I also have an ATR 2100, which if anyone is starting, that is like the go-to mic. Because it is USB and XLR. So if you ever upgrade or you have to go to an audio interface, or you're going to go through a mixer, you don't have to get a different mic if you don't want to. Actually pumping it through a Focusrite Scarlett 2i2, second generation. And actually, again, going into a Mac, and then I'm recording into Hindenburg. But I also like to record into Reaper. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. That's also a program that has a free trial. A lot of people use Audacity. That's okay too. I'm not a big fan. It's a little daunting at times. Maybe because it's just not what I started with. But that's the thing. There's so many different options out there. Sometimes people don't know where to start. I was like, figure out what you want to talk about. Buy the equipment that you can afford and then get started, but then be consistent. If you're going to do a weekly show, do a weekly show. You're going to do a monthly show, do a monthly show. Consistency is key, the key ingredient to all of this. Actually, consistency is the key ingredient to all things. Relationships, losing weight, gaining muscle. There's things that you have to consistently do over time to achieve the results that you desire, right? So consistency over time. But don't go crazy on the equipment, you know?
Yeah, you really just need kind of something to get you started and then slowly improve over time.
That's right. I mean, there's like dream mic that I want to get, but I don't want to spend like $400 or $500 on it because I'm not there yet. And here's the other thing. Here's something that people don't consider. Not everybody's voice sounds the same on every mic. So you see these guys with the Heil PR40 or the Electro Voice RE20 or 320, the Shure SM7B, and it's like, ooh, this is the go-to mic. This is the gold standard. Well, maybe it is for them and a lot of people, but how do you know that you sound good on that particular mic until you actually take it for a test drive? I would hate for someone to spend all that money and be like, man, I don't sound any better than I do on my ATR 2100, which is like, you know, what, $65-$70. You just don't know until you know.
So yeah, you mentioned, you know, always having that end game in mind. What is your end game and where do you see the nth podcasts going?
Well, you know, it's interesting because right now I've actually kind of taken a step back and everyone else is kind of running with all the shows. So in the near future, I'm going to jump back in. I'm traveling every week from Houston to Austin, so it's kind of hard for me to coordinate my schedule with the other guys as they record. But we don't necessarily have any plans to start any new shows. We've been like, one of the things we did was we took us a few months ago, we're like, we don't want to start anything else new. We want to grow what we have, right? And start looking at what's right from a monetization perspective for the shows. Do we want to look at some sponsorship? Do we want to look at direct patronage, you know, using something like Patreon? And we actually, to the guys that do a Dragon Ball Z podcast called Dragon Ballers, they've actually been able to fund directly through Patreon enough to cover hosting costs and other incidentals. And it's not money you could live off of, but we're also looking at sponsorship as well. But here's the key. They've been super consistent. There's not seasons like The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. So that's a show that the content comes out every week. So they have something to talk about every week and they have grown. That's actually the biggest show on the network. So we're looking at, you know, well, what do we do with that? Do we now go to other networks and see that we can get plugged in somewhere? That's something mm-hmm. that we're exploring. And then once we see how that goes with that, we'll definitely look at doing that for our Walking Dead coverage. And we are still kind of keeping our ear to the ground as to, well, if there's something that's up and coming that's not as saturated, because, you know, The Walking Dead, there's a ton of those. There's a ton of Game of Thrones, right? That, you know, once we get a model for, hey, this is something that would work from a monetization perspective, do we then, you know, start putting our weight behind kicking off another show? That it's not completely off the table, but it's not in the immediate plans. But they have certainly been able to. They're about to onboard some sponsors, which is kind of cool. And I don't think that's easy to do unless you have a very specific audience and you have a very specific topic. When you go too broad, it starts to become difficult unless you've got, you know, hundreds, not hundreds, but tens of thousands of downloads, right? Like the big guys, right? Because most companies won't even talk to you until you've got 50,000 plus downloads per episode. Mm-hmm. We're certainly not there, but then nobody really is unless it's the people that already have those built-in audiences, right?
Yeah. But yeah, if you can show them that your audience is very specifically targeted, that kind of helps helps prove the value.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I'm currently looking into, and this is just me personally, is looking into the viability of offering a hosting service in a more official capacity as a brand extension for any kind of TV show, be like a one-stop service where, hey, not only can we edit and mix all the content together, but we'll provide the content. And I'm looking into the viability of that. And I'm not sure if that's something's going to work yet, but I want to explore the opportunity because I think there is a potential market out there to where you could go to producers of a show and say, hey, look, we want to help you build this show. You know, you want to pay us X amount, we will be the brand extension from a podcast perspective on your behalf.
So yeah, especially because you have that, you know, you kind of mentioned that proven model, or that the model that you've been testing and optimizing over, you know, for other shows.
Sure, absolutely. And so I'm kind of excited about exploring that. I just don't know how that's going to work out yet, but in my mind, it makes sense.
Yeah, so, and that's good that you see the value that your shows really bring the fan community of the different shows that you talk about.
I always tell my kids all the time, look, if you don't ask, the answer is always going to be no.
Yeah.
So why not? Why not?
Yeah, so this has been great, Josh. Do you have one piece of advice for someone just starting out building a podcast?
One piece of advice. Don't take yourself seriously. I mean, like, too serious. I've met too many people that just, they start a podcast and it's like, oh, well, I'm hot snot. You know, I'm it. I'm cool. I'm a podcaster. What does that even mean? Who cares? Nobody cares. Just be kind, be giving, be generous, put out good content. And what I mean by that is you have to give back. You have to give something that's valuable. You have to be entertaining, or informative, or my favorite, which is a combination of the two. But don't take yourself too seriously. And I think you'll have long-term success, because I think a lot of folks go into doing a podcast thinking that, well, I'm about to hit easy street. I'm gonna start making full-time income, and this is what I'm gonna do. And then they meet resistance, or their expectations are dashed in a hurry, and then they start to give up. And it's like, well, when you give up, you're never gonna realize anything because you gave up. And you know, that goes back to what I said at the beginning, which is have a plan. Know why it is, why you're doing what you're doing, and make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. And I think that then you just be consistent with that and work that plan. And I think maybe you'll turn it into something.
Awesome. Well, yeah, Josh, this has been great. Where can people listen to the shows and learn more about and connect with you?
Well, sure. You can listen to any of the shows. You can go to their websites directly, nthcast.com, fearnthcast.com, onceuponeth.com, and I think Dragon Ballers, the Z on the end, because it's DragonBallZ.com, yeah. Where you can go listen to those directly, or you can just hit me up on Twitter. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me. And I'm at Josh Wade FM on Twitter. And you don't need to remember any of the other things that I said. I can point you in the right direction. In fact, if you go on there, I think the Twitter handle hyperlinks are in my profile on Twitter. So just go hit me up on Twitter at Josh Wade FM. And if you want to talk shop, you want to talk, whether that's nerdy stuff or you want to talk about podcasting, you want to talk about, well, how do I do this, or what mic should I get, or do I need to have a mixer, or do I just need to have an audio interface? And hey, I got some audio that doesn't sound so good. How can I clean it up? Feel free to hit me up. I'd be willing to help you out.
Yeah, and that's definitely something you've been a great great help to the podcasting community already. So definitely people should check you out and connect.
Well, hey, Tim, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you having me on here so I can, like I said, talk shop. This is fun for me. One last thing I would ask people to do is get out from behind the mic and meet some people in real life. Just every now and again, you might learn some stuff about people that you never would have found out any other way.
Yeah, that's podcasting has definitely made the conventions a lot more fun. So I definitely agree with that.
Awesome.
And yeah, Josh, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
So there you have it, guys. Awesome interview with Josh Wade. One thing that I really liked that he talked about was the idea of figuring out where your audience is and then joining that community. You know, when he was talking about how for the Once Upon a Time podcast, they tried out this new idea of using a Facebook group during episodes to get a little more engagement, and it turned out to work. And he mentioned, you know, that may not work for every show. And that's really the case for any way you're trying to, you know, get the word out or drum up more engagement, where, you know, just because something worked for one person, it may not work for you. And I think the biggest reason that's the case is your audience is going to be different than another podcast audience or another geek brand in general's audience. So it should really start with who your audience is, where they go to communicate with each other, and where's that community that you want to join. And he really talked about joining that community, not just marketing to them, but really joining them. And, you know, that touches on another thing that he said about, you know, having a goal and really knowing why you want to do your show and why you want to grow your audience and grow your engagement and really understanding what it's all for. So if you really are just going to, or you're looking to just engage with your community and, you know, kind of enrich the relationships you have there and provide a little bit of value, you may be just looking for more engagement if you are trying to monetize your podcast and, you know, make it work that way. Then, yeah, maybe you are looking to grow your numbers more. But knowing your why really helps you pick the right channels, engage with your audience the best, and have the best show. And that's something that I'm working on this week in my entrepreneur journey, is figuring out the best way to engage with my audience. I am on all the social networks. I haven't had much time to spend on them. I've found so far I really like engaging with people on Twitter. I think it's a fun way to reach out to people. Again, I haven't been using it as much as I should. I like engaging with people on Instagram. I feel like I've joined a small community, especially of cosplayers on Instagram. That is really cool. And so yeah, that's something that I'm going to be working on, especially this fall, is, you know, really figuring out who my community is. And then, you know, the best way to talk with them, and, you know, the best the best use of my time, because unfortunately the time that I have to be on social, promoting the show and just, you know, kind of engaging with people is limited. Hopefully that changes in the future. I'd love to spend more time on social and just kind of engaging with people. But right now I really want to figure out, you know, the one or two things that I can do with my limited time that would be the best way to talk to people. So if you have any input on that, that would be great to hear. And if you have any questions for Josh, or you're just interested in checking out the shows, you can go to nthcast.com, fearnthcast.com, and onceuponeth.com. And definitely give Josh a follow on Twitter at joshwadefm. And yeah, any feedback for the show would be great. You give us a rating or review on iTunes or Stitcher, and reach out to me on Twitter at Under the Capes, Facebook at Under the Capes, or Instagram at Under the Capes Podcast. And yeah, thanks so much for listening. Really enjoy the chance to, you know, engage with you guys, and I will hope to talk to you next week. Thanks.